Welcome back to HealthLink on Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. Linda Cohen along with you. Well, in the news lately, there has been a disturbing fact that cancer medicines, desperately needed by sick children and adults, are in short supply, undermining the ability of U.S. doctors to administer treatments. Many drugs are scarce because there is no incentive for drug makers to manufacture low-cost generics, which have a slim profit margin for pharmaceutical companies. And doctors do not expect that the equation will change anytime soon, making them scramble to find acceptable alternatives or to ration or delay treatment when they cannot. Well, joining us this morning to shed more light on this current dilemma is Steve Chulo, the Director of Pharmacy Services at Upstate University Hospital, and previously Steve was a Regional Director of Health System Sales for a major wholesale distributor of pharmaceuticals. Welcome, Steve. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me.
So what's the extent of the problem? What are we seeing?
Well, actually, Linda, the first thing I would like to bring to your attention is that the shortages go much beyond chemotherapy drugs. Over the past 4 or 5 years, we've noticed that there are shortages in many therapeutic categories, cardiovascular drugs, anesthetic agents, including morphine, fentanyl, and other items, paralytic agents with anesthesiologists used to do intubations in patients. So it's a major problem across many therapeutic classes that has occurred.
How can this be happening in the United States of America?
Well, that's a good question, and I think it's important to realize that we are in transition. Obviously, our economy is affecting many areas. The government, both federal and state governments, Medicare, Medicaid, are the largest purchasers of healthcare and pharmaceuticals. And so there have been some changes that have taken place, encouraging insurance companies and patients to use more generics, as you had mentioned in your opening. And there's also some price controls that the federal and state governments are trying to put in place because of the economic impact that it's having. And so, again, we are in sort of a paradigm shift in terms of the way we do business in healthcare.
It's interesting. It's kind of like you're almost the patient finds themselves kind of between a rock and a hard place, because on the one hand, or we all are, you know, the rising cost of healthcare is one where we're desperately looking for ways to cut costs. And if part of that is cutting the profit margin on some of these very high, you know, high priced name brand products. On the other hand, if the incentive is gone for them, for these pharmaceutical companies to manufacture them, it puts us all at great risk, I would think.
Yes, it does. And, you know, I think you've really identified the challenge for us as a country in transition in terms of healthcare. Again, just reflecting on that for a moment, manufacturers are mostly publicly owned companies. And, you know, their mission, their goals is to generate profits for shareholders. And that, unfortunately, is the way we're structured in a free market economy. And what's happening at this point is we see manufacturers as changing some of their processes and their focus in order to maintain profitability. Again, understanding that that's their obligation as publicly held companies. So there's a dichotomy, if you will, between our economy and state and federal government trying to reduce costs, and manufacturers who have that profit motive incentive to try and adjust their business so that they can maintain profit.
Do you think that in doing so, they actually change the quality of the drugs that they're producing?
Well, there's been a lot of discussion about that as well. And one of the areas that has come to light is that in our globalization of manufacturing, a lot of pharmaceutical companies now are sending some of their processes overseas. And in fact, the FDA, which has been obviously an advocate for safety in this country, has less influence, although they do have FDA agents who visit manufacturing facilities. They're understaffed. So there have been some instances, even with drugs like heparin that were manufactured for Baxter Travonol, and the process was taking place in China, and there was a result with a lot of detrimental effects on patient care in this country. So that, in fact, could be a major, the globalization could be a contributor also to the safety.
Yeah, and FDA classically and historically has been kind of a an organization without teeth because of their being underfunded and not have sufficient people, you know, staff to be able to actually investigate the standards.
Yes.
Especially when you're talking internationally.
Yes, that's true. And again, it goes back to the economy. It's sort of when you think about it, the economy affects healthcare, but healthcare affects our economy. I mean, it's again, that's the dichotomy, and it's working in both directions right now.
So, are there other things that are playing a role here? For example, are there black markets that are taking place and those kinds of things? Is that also playing a role?
Yes, there's actually a number of different areas that are that are affecting the outcomes. As we mentioned earlier, generic drug market. There is a sense that, in fact, generic drug manufacturers have been recently established and don't have the quality or the current good manufacturing practices to the same level as some of the major manufacturers that have been around for many, many years. So there's a question as to whether the standards are being maintained at that high level. There are some supply chain problems as well. And when we look at what's happened over the years, back in 2006, for instance, there were 70 new drug shortages reported. And probably most of them were due to some natural resource issues, including raw materials to make drugs and also, interesting, glass manufacturing, because a lot of the injectable drugs, which seem to be the area where most of the shortages are occurring, need to have a certain grade of glass. So raw material supplies and also some of the packaging supplies have played an issue. But since 2006, when you look at the progression of this problem, just to give you an example, 2011 we're up to 246 shortages already, and we're only 6 months into the year. So if you look at that for the first 6 months of this year and extrapolate that out for a full year, that's about a sevenfold increase in drug shortages over that period from 2006 to 2011. It truly is becoming a crisis. Patients are being affected. Healthcare providers are having to make decisions and rationing drugs, including chemotherapy drugs that are affecting the outcomes in patient care.
And clearly that sometimes they're, as you said, delaying treatments even on patients or trying to find suitable substitutes where there are no substitutes. I mean, it sounds like we're in a third world country.
Yes, it certainly does. When you think about chemotherapy, chemotherapy treatments are usually based on research, and there's protocols that are developed. And the protocol is a standard treatment cycle that has been identified as giving the best outcomes in terms of sustaining a healthy life for patients with cancer. And so if you don't have some of the products that are in that protocol for treatment, then you're actually changing the combination of therapies and drugs that are being used, and again, not getting the optimal outcomes based on research that has proven what's best to use. So that definitely has having an impact as well.
I mean, it strikes me that we live in a capitalist society, and clearly there are tremendous strengths to that. But when it comes to healthcare, and when it comes to protecting the kind of what I think is probably not just the privilege, but the right of human beings to have, you know, good health care. I mean, that's a personal bias on my part. It seems like something like pharmaceuticals maybe should be taken out of that kind of, you know, market-driven economy. And obviously, I'm sure there are people out there who would not agree with me on that, but I'm curious as to your feeling.
Yeah. There's been a debate going on for years looking at other countries and the way they administer their healthcare programs and whether or not we should be working in a free market environment in this country. And I think it does get into some questions about the ethics and the responsibilities that manufacturers have as well. At this time when the economy is so stressful and it's overflowing into the profitability of manufacturers, it appears that profitability is driving some of the decisions. It's not the only problem. There are other issues in terms of the way the FDA processes are, and so there's probably enough blame to go around on both sides. But in fact, the question becomes, you know, what are the obligations of manufacturers before they make a decision to change their manufacturing product or focus on which products give them the best profitability. So that debate will continue, and there's actually some interesting background on this. There was an economist by the name of Milton Friedman who many years ago and he's been quoted in terms of the economy in many ways, but many years ago he did say that really it's the government's role to do the research and to make that information available to the public, but not to legislate and try to control every step and every process in terms of trying to control processes like manufacturing. And the challenge that occurs is when a situation like we're in right now with drug shortages, free market pressures don't work easily because most patients don't really identify with a drug shortage and who the manufacturer is. In a free market situation where you have the consumer, the patient, if they were knowledgeable in terms of what's going on and which drugs are not available and why those drugs are not available, it would be easier to have an influence and market pressures on the manufacturers.
In other words, they would vote with their feet, so to speak.
Based on they wouldn't purchase certain products. Right. But again, remember, in this situation, the largest consumer of healthcare is government, federal and state government. So, but there's another aspect of this, and it's something that I've been looking at, and trying to get support for, and that's really making information available so that patients will know when a product is not available who the manufacturer is, and hopefully that type of information will influence investors, because I think there are a lot of people who try to invest in companies that are profitable but are also ethical and making moral decisions.
So what you're suggesting is if there's more information out there linking a particular drug to a manufacturer, that the public could bring to bear some pressure on this manufacturer to do the right thing.
I believe that's
either by their investment strategies or by their purchase strategies or something.
Yes.
Because we are in a democracy and we are in a capitalist setting. Short of that, or I guess what else can and should be done? I saw that there's been some legislation proposed. Tell us about that.
Yes, there has been some legislation proposed, and again, this is going to be voted on in the near future. And really, what's happened is there's a senator, I believe, from Wisconsin, and in fact, she had identified that there were drug shortages that were affecting some of her constituents in the state. And the way the legislation has been proposed, the bill has been proposed, is that the manufacturers would have to give advance notice before they were discontinuing a product line. If they didn't, there would be penalties. Again, some of that, I believe, is necessary, but it's not going to be easy for the government to legislate these problems because manufacturers will do the best they can to notify, but there are going to be situations where there are raw material shortages, and that wouldn't be applicable to this pre-notification period.
You know, I mean, all these things sound like possible solutions, but largely it really just rests on almost the ethics and the good conscience, it would seem, of some of these companies to do the right thing, because there really aren't teeth strong enough, I think, to make them do so.
Yeah, and there's a lot of room for improvement on both sides. I think the point that you're making is important, but again, you have to remember that manufacturers have a motive to make profit. So there's also opportunities for the FDA, and it appears that the FDA is starting to make adjustments in the way they streamline processes as well.
Well, let's hope we get somewhere, because clearly the patients are caught in the middle of this mess. Well, Steve Chulo, Director of Pharmacy Services at Upstate University Hospital, thanks so much for coming in and sharing your insight into this very significant problem. And let's hope there's some quick solutions down the road. Well, we have to take another short break, but we'll be right back, so please stay right there. I'm Linda Cohen. This is HealthLink on Air, FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.